Welcome again to our study on wisdom literature from the book of Proverbs. We are now at chapter 4, which is a very important chapter. It's a chapter written by King Solomon, but it's taken from notes that he made concerning the teachings of his father, King David, during his formative years. And King David starts off with the word, "Hear ye children, hear ye children." And we've commented on the fact that hearing is very important indeed. People do not hear. They do not listen. They do not comprehend. They do not understand so often what their teachers say. And that's particularly true in church. People listen to the pastor and they think, well, they've heard it. But hearing means more than just hearing the words. It means understanding and applying what we hear. And so King David was very concerned, and he said, look, hear ye children, hear ye children. And then he continues, and his primary thought is this: keep my commandments and live, and let your heart retain my words. Now, we've commented on this before, but you know, King David keeps repeating these things. You know, retain. So many people start well, and that was true of King Solomon. You know, there are two kings I often think of: King Solomon of Israel and King Henry VIII of England. Now, what are these men basically known for? Well, Solomon, wisdom and 1,000 wives. King Henry VIII, well, his wives, 6 wives. But the point that I want to make is this: both kings had great similarities. King Solomon, when he was young, was a man who was very wise. In his youth and his formative years, King David said, thou art a wise man. And when he ascended the throne, the whole of Israel marveled at his wisdom. But the same was true with King Henry VIII. King Henry VIII, when he came to the throne, 1819, I mean, he was a theological scholar. I mean, he could read and reason about New Testament doctrine in Greek, and likewise Old Testament doctrine in Hebrew. He was a scholar. He was a student of Scripture. But what happened? In both cases, although they started well, they both degenerated. You know, Henry VIII, I can't remember exactly, but he died in his 50s, and King Solomon died at 59. You know, they didn't have length of days because they didn't keep their original teachings. And so, you see, he said, keep my commandments. Well, you know, when a pastor repeats things, it is God speaking to the congregation and saying, look, I know where you are now, but I know where you're going to end up. See, end up. And I've had experiences whereby I found myself warning people of the congregation, warning them, oh, stay on the path. And they haven't done so. So these warnings of King David to Solomon were prophetic. But it's not so much what happened to King Solomon that matters to us. What matters is our own life, isn't it? That King Solomon ended up in a miserable situation. Do you know what his summation of his own life was? An old and foolish king that cannot be corrected. Well, we don't want to be end up like that, do we? You know, it's how we finish life that's so important. And that depends on whether we keep the commandments that have been entrusted to us and we've been taught. And so he is going to give, King David is going to give to Solomon, you know, instruction. And he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get understanding. Keep wisdom, keep understanding. You know, if King David said, wisdom is the principal thing, don't you think it'd be wisdom on our part to ask for wisdom? Don't you think that the pursuit of wisdom should indeed be that which is major in our life? I think it should be. Because if it's a principal thing, therefore it's the thing that's going to give us length of days, happiness, and usher us into the kingdom of heaven. So wisdom is undoubtedly that which is the most important. And so it said, exhort her, and she shall promote thee. You know, we see that in the life of Joseph, don't we? You know, Joseph was brought before Pharaoh, for Pharaoh had two very important dreams. And he didn't have the interpretation, nor did his wise men have the interpretation. So Joseph was summoned from prison because the butler had his dreams interpreted by Joseph, and they proved to be right. And so Joseph was summoned into the presence of Pharaoh. And when he came into the presence of Pharaoh, you know, Pharaoh told him the dreams, Joseph interpreted them. But you know what Pharaoh said? He looked at his counselors, he said, can we find such a wise man in all the kingdom? And he promptly promoted Joseph to be the governor of Egypt. And Pharaoh alone was greater than him. And so you see, wisdom does promote, as in the case of Joseph. And I tell you this, that if you seek wisdom, and wisdom is for every aspect of our life, that if you will seek wisdom, you will get promoted. Well, there is the promise. And there he continues, you see, by fact it will bring you to honor. And she shall be an ornament of grace in your hand, a crown of glory. And again he says, hear my son, and receive my sayings. And the years of thy life shall be many. It's amazing how often King David mentions length of days. And it's the very thing that Solomon lost. You know, we should listen to what God is saying to us personally. What is he emphasizing to us personally? You know, if we will listen very carefully to what he says, you know, we will have an understanding of the pitfalls that lay ahead of us. Well, the pitfall that lay ahead of Solomon was that he married all these wives that turned him away from the law of God, from the sayings of David. And David, being a prophet, could understand that, and so he keeps warning him. Well, we continue. And he said, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have put thee in right paths. So this is the purpose of every father. that when a son or a daughter, you know, attains unto teen age responsibilities, shall I say, then the father or mother has to put the son or daughter into the right path for their life. Right path for their life. Father is not only to provide, but he is to guide. And David said to Solomon, now I've put you on the right path. I've put you on the right path. And that he did, you see. And he goes on to say, look, don't go into the pathway of the wicked. And then he gives a promise, shall I say. This promise is a very wonderful promise. It's in chapter 4 and verse 18. But the path of the just is like a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Now, Victor Hugo, the French writer, and he was known particularly for his book on Les Miserables, but he was a Christian and his writings are full of moral teachings. But this is what he said in his old age. He said, I am getting older, but it's getting lighter and lighter and lighter. And I think that's what we want, isn't it? The older we get, the lighter it becomes. Our life, our pathway becomes lighter. But that's only for the just, you see. The pathway of the just. And we certainly need it in these days because darkness is increasing everywhere according to the prophetic word of God that darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. And that we are beginning to see that everywhere. Well, for the Christian, the promise is quite different. The promise is the pathway of the just. It's like a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The perfect day is when we step from this earth into heaven above. Well, we continue with these other thoughts of King David, you see. And the way of the wicked, he said, is darkness, is darkness, is darkness. The way of the wicked is darkness. They know not at what they stumble. You know, when you're in darkness, especially like in the deep darkness of Africa and so forth, you know, there's no light at all. You know, as you walk, you don't know what you stumble at. But that's like the wicked. They're in darkness, spiritual darkness. But oh, the just walk in light. Such a difference. Well now, we move on. And again, he says, you know, in the following verses, verse 20. And in verse 20, we have a repetition of what David has consistently spoken to King Solomon. And it is, my son, attend to my words. Attend to my words. It is as though David is foreseeing the future and seeing that Solomon is going to slip away and that Solomon will not continue on the path that David has placed him on. And it is so important in our own lives that we listen intently to what is told us by God or what verses consistently come before us when we study or when we think or when we meditate. What does the pastor keep repeating? Because he is inspired by God to warn us of those things that are to come in our lives. And surely King Solomon was amply warned, but he paid no attention. Well, now, I want to come now to a very important verse. And that verse is, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And I want to consider the human heart. I want to turn actually with you to Song of Songs chapter 4 and verse 12. Because in the Song of Songs chapter 4 and verse 12, we have, if I could say this, the bride likened to a garden. And in this garden, there are all kinds of beautiful plants. Now then, the important factor is this, that that garden represents the human heart. And that garden, first of all, has a hedge placed around it. And in a sense, as we look at Job chapter 1, Satan, when speaking of Job, says to God, you have placed a hedge around him. In other words, a hedge that prevents me touching him. And that's the first thing that God does. He puts a wall of salvation around us when we accept him as our Savior. And the purpose of that wall is to keep Satan out. And it's a very real blessing indeed to know that we have the wall of salvation around us as we have accepted Christ as our Savior. Now, the next thing is this, that piece of ground is really most undesirable. It's the ground of an unregenerate person. And it's full of weeds, which speak of the works of the flesh, full of stones that speak of areas of rebellion in our life. And God simply comes upon that piece of ground, roots out those thorns that speak of the work of the flesh, envy, adultery, and all those kind of things, hatred, pride, arrogance. And he removes them, and he takes away all the stones, the areas of rebellion in our life, but he doesn't leave it as a piece of ground that is infertile, but he plants that ground with plants. Now, there are 9 plants mentioned in the Song of Songs, chapter 4 and verse 12, starting with pomegranates and the like. But each of those plants represents a fruit of the Spirit. And I just like to look with you at two portions of Scripture. I'd like to look with you at the Song of Songs and chapter 4. And in chapter 4, and verse 12, we find this. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphire, spikenard, and the like. And the interesting thing is this. 9 plants are mentioned. Pomegranates, camphire, spikenard. Now, pomegranates, camphire, and spikenard. Now, how would we know the spiritual interpretation of those plants? Well, we go to Galatians chapter 5 and verses 21, 22, and we would list the fruit of the Spirit. So down one side, we're going to put pomegranates, camphire, spikenard, and the others. And on this side, we're going to put love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And therefore, opposite pomegranate, there is love. Opposite campfire, there is joy. Opposite spikenard, there is peace, and so on. And so this is what God desires to do in our lives. And so King David is saying to King Solomon, now keep your heart with all diligence. You know, I come from England, and I think when every Englishman, virtually every Englishman when he retires, plants a garden, and sometimes long before he retires. But he's got to watch over that garden very carefully indeed, because that garden, you know, can be well tilled, it can be well planted, but if it's not guarded, then weeds come up again. And that is true of the human heart. You see, we can give our heart unto the Lord, but the Lord works in our heart to take away the stones and the weeds and so forth, speaking of the works of the flesh. But we have to diligently watch over that heart. Why? For two reasons. Number one is that the fruit of the Spirit develops in our heart. That fruit is nourished by the reading of the Word of God, by prayer and worship, and by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, which waters our garden, so that the plants develop. That's point number one. Point number two is that we have to watch very carefully that weeds do not come back into our heart. And if they do, you know, in that wonderful parable of the sower in Matthew 13, the Lord speaks of a certain piece of ground that had thorns and nettles and the like. And what did he say about it? He said it prevents fruit coming to perfection. So therefore, in our heart, we must develop the fruit of the Spirit, as I've said, by reading the Word, hearing from God, prayer, and worship. And the other thing is this, we must guard that in our heart, that the works of the flesh do not spring up again. Because if we have the works of the flesh again in our heart, what happens is this, that it will choke the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And so it's very important indeed to hearken to what King David is saying to King Solomon, that we should guard our heart with all diligence. And so that is a very important instruction as we close this chapter. And then as we continue, you know, he says this, for out of it are the issues of life. So according to our heart, as the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so you see, according to our speech, so are we. And so we want a clean heart, a pure heart, so that our speech and our works are pure. Well, we continue here, and in these last moments, looking at these verses, you see, here again is this, you know, ponder the path of thy feet, and all thy ways shall be established. Isn't that something that we've said before? That the fear of the Lord is cautious living, cautious living. We ponder, we consider our actions. And as we do, you see, we shall walk in wisdom, and we shall indeed have the benefits of doing those things that are righteous. The Lord has often stressed to me that if we make right decisions, we will have the fruit of those decisions. But here again, you see, turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, straight paths are the paths that God has for our life. And it's very interesting, if you look at the book of Ezekiel, and describing the creatures that are before the throne of God, something that is said about them, their feet are straight feet. And we want to have straight feet, walking straightly on the path of righteousness, not turning to the right, nor turning to the left, but continuing straight ahead. And if we do that, then all these blessings that King David has promised shall be ours. A pleasant life, a joyful life, length of days, happiness. Isn't that what we want? Then keep on the path and ponder your feet so that we do not turn to the right nor to the left, but we continue straight ahead. May God bless you.
This series has been presented by Zion Fellowship of Waverley, New York. For those of you who are interested in reading or studying more, you may purchase the book, Wisdom Literature, and many other books from our bookstore at the number which will follow. If you have been blessed and encouraged and would like to donate financially towards the cost of this program, you may do so by calling our toll-free number with credit card details or by sending a check to Zion Fellowship at the address which follows.